Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and I am just delighted to be looking across the table here in our little humble studio at my lovely wife, Carrie. Carrie, welcome back. You're back. And today we're going to have a chance to talk a bit about your being on with me in the month of November. I'm excited for that. We've got several things we're going to talk about. What are we going to cover today in our program?
Well, championship. State tournament.
You
for
gave
Idaho.
It away. You just gave it away even before we started. So we just came back from a tournament. That's one thing. We're going to talk a bit about you coming back. What else?
Health. Talk a little bit about our entering midlife. I think we've been here for a few years.
Midlife. I think, Terry, I think we
we're beyond midlife.
Right through midlife. We're at the far stage of midlife. We're Carrie, when we get senior discounts at events, we are no longer in midlife, all right?
I got a senior discount, and I'm 55, and I didn't think I was a senior yet. I thought, senior in high school? What are you talking about? But I actually got a senior discount at the tournament.
Yeah, I like it when I say I get a senior discount. They said, no, you can't get one. And then my response back is always, are you in sales? So, which is nice. And then I have a book update if we have time. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So lots to cover on the program today. I'm super excited to get started. We will do so in just 1 minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
All right, welcome back. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. We thank you and praise you for the gift of our lives, the gift of our faith, and Lord, the vision that you give us of a life that goes beyond death, that looks forward to being with you forever in heaven. Lord, help us keep our eyes fixed on heaven, and may that determine and impact how we live here on earth. Lord, help us recognize the preciousness of the present moment, the preciousness of being alive today, and the opportunity that you give us to live well, glorifying you, honoring what you've put into our hands, and giving us a vigor and an energy to strive for the heights, to not settle for less in how we live. And we make this prayer, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So, Carrie, first thing, first topic, this past weekend. Well, it was actually even more than a weekend. It was, we left on Thursday morning early, and the girls, our two daughters in high school, Luciana, a freshman, and Annalisa, junior, are part of the Ambrose Classical School, the Ambrose School of Girls Varsity Volleyball Team. They made it to the state tournament as the number one ranked team. That was pretty cool.
That was cool. And we just kind of fell into this team. And the girls were a great contribution to those that were playing on the court. And we never thought we'd be able to be a part of something like this. It is really a once in a lifetime kind of event, where how often do you get to go to state and compete at that level in the high school, let alone college or, you know, professional? But to be able to be a part of this was such a special and memorable event, and we'll never forget it.
Well, and I think that, for instance, one of the gifts that we found in sports is that it provides a place for discipline and focus and improvement. Right. So that especially when you're on the right team with the right coach. And I've got a couple of stories about the coach and the messages I got to hear, because I got an inside track seat. So early in the season, I asked the coaches, I said, hey, do you guys pray before a game? And they said, we would love to have you do that. And so each game, the head coach is very much a person of systems. So you do the same thing over and over. And so He said, well, if you're going to do it once, you're going to do it every time. And so,
Is that sort of like conspiracy, or what's
you
that
mean,
called, where you don't want to jinx?
oh, yeah, a type of, why can't we think of the words? Yeah, well,
That's
yeah,
okay. We're making everyone feel really good about their minds.
I think you're thinking of, I can't even think of the word. We'll figure it out. Whatever that word is where you're, where you
Where's
have,
our producer? Can you look? Hey, can you look that up?
yeah.
We don't have a producer.
All right, so no, I think it was a matter of he just likes that sense of consistency where people don't have to guess what's going to happen next. And so, okay, we start with a prayer, then he gives strategy for the game, and then they do one, two, three archers, which is the Ambrose mascot, and then they go out and play. And so I had a chance to be there when he gathered the team together before their first game, right? So they're the number one ranked team, they're playing against the top. Against the top eight teams in the state that have all won the right to be able to be there. And he said to them two things that I found so very powerful. And it made me look back on the journey that they had taken together. Because he is a very rigorous, vigorous, challenging coach. He's not a softie.
I think what I realized is it takes a lot more than just great athletes to have a state championship team. It takes coaches that are invested in putting these kids in tournaments as they're allowed to, because there's a lot of rules around all these different programs. But you can, join two tournaments or four tournaments. You can do zero tournaments. So there are some teams, Tom, didn't they have like 35 games?
Yeah, they were amazing. Some teams had, like, they got into tournaments where they would play 10 games, and other teams didn't play in any tournaments. And then you could play against teams that were higher rated.
And this is all driven by a coach and a vision and a program. So you can find cities or towns where the teams are consistently solid. They always show up because they have someone to spearhead it, to lead it, to
To
put the
build the
effort,
program.
the work, the time. So anything done well requires somebody in the background who has a vision for that. That's like how Brian O'Rourke was when we were in Spokane, leading the whole lacrosse programs and trying to build that out. That was his
And build the
passion.
whole athletic program at the Chesterton Academy of Notre Dame, yeah,
Yeah,
in Spokane.
that was his passion and focus. And so you do need not just excellent, good athletes, but you need a person to lead that and to spearhead that. And that doesn't necessarily come from a high school, a public high school, a private high school. It has to be someone within those
Well, and you could
organizations.
say the same thing for Quarter Christ Academy in Coeur d'Alene,
Yeah, they made
Kellen
it too.
Clemens, right? So,
Yes.
by the way, it's really nice to have a former NFL quarterback as your athletic director.
See some sarcasm in that.
No,
Well.
I'm just saying it gives you a, so it's not just a vision of excellence, but someone who's tasted it, someone who's experienced
Knows how
it,
to
because
get
then
there.
that makes it real,
For
right?
sure. Yes.
And so this coach here, he's coaching a girls varsity volleyball team, and his background is 35 years coaching a Division One men's basketball volleyball team. Yeah, let's say that again, right? So how many times do you have a girls varsity volleyball team being coached by someone who has that background? And the answer is zero. You just don't find that. And so he brings that level of expertise and expectation and capacity to motivate. And so all this co collides down. And by the way, this is absolutely essential and connected to our life of faith,
Yes.
which I'm gonna land the plane on this one, is that he in the locker room. So we went in there and I prayed.
You were the team chaplain.
I was like the team chaplain,
Good
yeah,
Catholic
which
boy.
was so cool. And so here I am, and I would read a scripture. I would read a scripture, and I would say, "This is what that scripture means." And then I would pray the scripture like into them, right?
Awesome.
So like the gold coins,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
You were all entrusted at the beginning of the season with the gold coin, and now you're here, and you're at the tournament. It's time for the 10 gold coins. This is your return, right?
Yeah,
You've
exactly.
invested that
Was
much.
that one of your
Yeah, that
prayers?
was one of them I used.
Oh,
And
goosebumps.
then after I prayed, he said two things. So cool. The first thing he said was, "We have built you for this moment. We have put in the work through this entire season, the teams that we've played, the positions we've put you in, the work that you've done. We have built you for this moment. You are more ready for this moment than any team you're going to face on this court. So you should have the confidence to know that being tried by fire this season was for the sake of this moment. We have built you for it. Now go do it. It was just like, yeah, I was ready to take the hill.
Where's the uniform? Let me get out there. Let me out there, coach.
Let's go. Where's the, what hill? What hill could I take on?
That's awesome.
And you say that, I just like was watching the girls. And I'm like, he never said that during the season.
You think he saved it? Like a back pocket? Like,
no, that wasn't my point. I mean, my point was, oh, that's his philosophy. His whole philosophy of life is, I'm going to ask a lot of you. And he did. Oh my goodness. We got here July the 3rd. And then there was the 4th of July. Then there was the weekend. And that next Monday, there was a week of all day long training, all day into the evening training for volleyball. And it just has continued since then in July. They have been nonstop effort, effort, investment, investment, better, go, build, break down, build up, grow. And it was like, it was vigorous. It was rigorous. It was challenging. It required sacrifice. And he was building them towards this. And then he said one other thing. And he said, the end of this, you win a state championship, no one will ever be able to take that away from you for the rest of your life. You will have won a state championship. No one will ever be able to take that away from you. And I was just like, yes, let's go. I mean, how cool is that?
What does that mean to you?
What that means to me, that's like a, that's St. Pierre Giorgio Frassati. You know, go to the heights. Go to the heights, right? Like you, for me, it's run the race to win. It's St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:27. All the runners are racing, race to win. It's Hebrews chapter 12. You know, all of heaven watches. There's a cloud of witnesses running. Run the race of faith. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's St. Paul saying, I've run the race. I've fought the good fight. Now it's time for my reward, right? Mm-hmm. It's the 10 gold coins. Oh,
so good, Tom. You saw a lot to that. I was like, okay, what does that mean for you?
Well,
glad I asked.
And it's like I have spent so much time talking about that we live in a moment of comfortable dissipation where we settle for an easy, soft life, and there are consequences to that. We may not feel them or see them or recognize them, but there are damaging, there are even tragic impacts that come from us settling for the satisfaction of an easy life, even though we're very active in the faith. And I connect it to this because it is a life that lacks the vigor, rigor, challenge, courage, generosity, the sacrifice that our daughters just went through with that volleyball team. And it lacked the vision of the end that said, do you realize in the end, well done, good and faithful servant, enjoy your master's reward. That's if we had more of that in our lives, that would give us the strength to get off the couch.
Yeah. And that brings me to the question of, well, how do you build around us a family, a church, that kind of sense of mission, passion, earning this incredible life now? Because our flesh and our human tendency is to go towards the easier. Maybe not in generations 50 years ago, but I think the kids that we're raising right now and with the smartphone and with our material wealth, it's very easy to not realize that we're in a race and that we're fighting for the salvation on behalf of the Lord for many people.
I think that God had me do that workshop on did parenting the digital generation in providential timing, because it allowed me to sense it, to be more sensitized to the realities of adult addiction to smartphones as an exacerbator, as that which makes worse the reality of this comfortable dissipation. Like you said, it's not only the lifestyle associated with material comforts it just gets so amplified and worsened by smartphone addiction, by us just wasting our lives and our spiritual energy on things that just aren't worth it. So the girls, they won. They pushed through. They
not only did they win, the last game went to
the championship game.
Five sets, which is best of five. And it went down to the last set goes to 15 points, and it was 14-14. And then it was 15-14. And then it was 15-15. And we pulled out the last 2 points. It was so nerve-wracking. I don't think I go to volleyball games to relax or to enjoy myself. It is worse. It's like a horror movie, but we won.
Yeah.
The good guy won. Oh, it's just so intense. I just like, oh, as a mom or as, I don't think as a player, you're like in it and you're focused, but in the stands, it's like, I don't want to be in the stands. I want to be on the court. I want to be playing the game of life and not watching it.
Yeah. Amen to that. That's probably a great place to transition to our next point, which is really about, okay, how are we going to live? Brothers and sisters, how now shall we live? Remember St. Philip Neri? How now shall we live? How will we live our lives today? And so when we come back, Carrie, I'm going to ask you to share a bit about how now shall you live in the month of November. And you're here back. I love that. And we'll talk a little bit about why back in a minute.
Awesome.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. And again, I'm joined by my lovely wife, Carrie. Carrie, I'm so thrilled that you came to me a few weeks ago and said, honey,
I'm ready. Put me in coach.
Put me in coach. Get me up. I'm not on JV any longer. Pull me up. I'm now back on the court. Talk a bit about why you're here.
Well, I think first off, it was just really hard to move from Spokane to our new town and all that it took and required. So I wanted that just space to not have to focus on many things and really to move everyone, to get the houses ready, to manage all the schedules of our kids working in different cities and trying to help emotional, mental transition of our younger girls. Just takes a lot out of you as a mom.
And even to say the discerning process, right? So this process began a year ago, May. So that's about as long as you've been gone, with a few exceptions. It's been a while.
Has it really?
Yeah, a year ago May. So
I did not realize that. And then I think when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, that really shifted something in the core of my heart and my spiritual life. And it felt as if, as you looked at his life and saw how he lived his life from a young age until his very young life, you know, he died at 31. Just such a short time and yet such a great impact of godly character, devotion, focus, just relentless in his heart to take the world for the Christ. His comment is, I want to make heaven crowded. And it really caused me to say, what am I doing with my life? Now, of course, you know, one could say, oh, you're a mom of many kids and you're married and you have this vocation. But I knew in the depths of my heart that I was comfortable and I was choosing not to go all in for the Lord and choosing not to put my gifting at his service. There's the litany of trust where it says, I wrote it down because I can't remember.
Actually, as you're looking it up, I'm going to mention something to you. I don't know if you realize this, but one of the mottos of Sacred Heart Radio is make heaven crowded.
I knew that. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sacred Heart. No, Ron Belter, when we talk about this during pledge drives and things like that, he'll reference some guy who, I think it was some guy who said he was listening and he made a contribution. And the answer was, because I want to make heaven crowded.
Oh, I love that.
The message that comes forth on Catholic radio is a message that touches people, not just in their minds or their hearts or even impacts how they live day to day, but it impacts the most important things of all. Where will you spend eternity? And if we can help people connect to the loving plan of the Father manifested in Christ and his loving heart for us, that he longs to set us free, let's go. Let's crowd heaven.
And that just encompasses a sense of mission on earth. Like, what am I doing here? What is the purpose of, you know, going to mass, going, praying, living out my life? It's not to earn money or to try to get to the next trip or the next yummy restaurant or whatever. I mean, those are all fine, but it leaves you empty. Those are nice things, but they don't fulfill this deep ache of, Lord, you
have... actually leave you full. Some of them, yeah. Going to restaurants leave you full until it makes you empty.
It just is, Lord, you have something for me that's so much more. Can I see it? Can I be a part of it? Can you break into my mind and the ways I think about my life and enlighten it to the realm of heaven? To be, you know, they say, don't be, you know, too heavenly minded. You'll be, you know, not earthly good in the scripture. All you Catholics know those scriptures. Wink, wink. But really, I needed to be more heavenly minded and less earthly. And so it's in the little book, that Litany of Trust. I love just having it. It's a tiny, tiny, thin
thing. Isn't that cool?
You can bring it in your back pocket or put it in the back of your phone. Or
I've never even heard of it. Do you know who wrote it? The Sisters of Life.
Oh.
Yeah, those sisters. Yeah.
No, who wrote it?
Do you know how I found out?
No.
A confession.
Someone gave that, the priest gave that to you?
The priest gave it to me as a penance, was pray this Litany of Trust. You'll find it at the church, like, or you'll find it out there. And I got it and I was like, this is so well done.
It really is well done.
The person who wrote it gets it.
Let's talk about that in another episode, like another.
We should call the sisters up and say, okay, we want to talk to the author. Whoever wrote that, we want to talk to that sister.
So one of them is from refusals and reluctancies in accepting your will. And I felt like I was called to be with you on the radio on Fridays. I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do that much. But I really felt like I was just at a certain point refusing it. And then so many reluctancies and many different ways for many reasons, but all simply my own pride. Like, I don't think that I want to do this for the different reasons. I don't need to share them all. But when Charlie's life was laid out and you saw what he did for Christ and for salvation of many and for his focus on working day and night, it just like convicted me of my own sloth, my own excuses, my own, what am I waiting for? Like, why am I not contributing and fighting for the Lord the way I did many years ago? And so that really shifted. And so I started to pray and ask the Lord, like, what do you want to show me? How can I use this, his life, as a conviction and a foil for my own lack? And the Lord just really awakened in me this desire to, yes, you need to do this with your husband. And you now see what I have for you. And so, yeah, there's a lot of reluctances and refusals I have in my life, and just praying the Lord to break those down.
It was like me growing a beard. Yeah.
Wait, were you really you are a little
totally
reluctant.
I have a kind of scruffy beard. I don't have a full beard. I don't have one of those ZZ Top beards or one of those Duck Dynasty beards.
Yeah.
I just have a little scruffy thing. And
it's very manly.
It was only for you.
Thank you.
It wasn't like, hey, honey, I want to grow a beard. There's the sublime and the ridiculous there. There you go, dear. But I want to say this, that you're talking about a way of finding motivation that is improving the life you already have, right? It wasn't that I'm in so much pain, I need to relieve it. It was, no, I sense a call, but I need something to move me to enter into it more fully. And that's a harder path, to be honest with you, right? So in the business world, when you go to people who want to give money to a startup, the first question they ask is, what problem are you solving? What's the pain point that you're going to relieve? Because that they know people will respond to more than, well, what's the vitamin you're going to give that's going to enhance people who are doing well already, but may not realize that they could be more efficient or more productive? You don't feel that as much. So it's harder to find a motivation from experiencing the gap between the life you're living and the life you could live. So I do think it takes the life of a saint that is often a great motivator to pull people forward, right? So we like, oh, Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati, right? Saint Mother Teresa, Saint Padre Pio, St. John Paul, this is so great. The lives they lived were so radiant, they were magnetic, and they pulled you forward. You referenced the shocking tragedy of someone who literally gave his life on behalf of his cause of trying to reach out to people with the truth. And yet at the same time, the more that you discovered the testimonies of people saying how hard he worked, generously, vigorously, courageously, right? All those different things, that's pretty magnetic.
Yeah, I think one of his words that he loved was earn. And I think it was in reference to like, you have to earn your own way. You're not, he was really anti-socialism or against people just living off the government, that they really needed to, they had a dignity, a self-worth to go out and earn. But I took it as, and not earning salvation, but to earn your purpose, to earn your sense of worth in doing the hard, easy, in doing something you don't want to do that you're reluctant or refusing to do. And just thinking about it awakened in me this like verve, this fervor to go out and fight for the Lord, or to go out and be courageous, and to see him going into these places where they were anti-Christ and anti-God and confidently, kindly taking the opponent on. Where here, I'm just like on a very easy platform where everyone loves God, are cheering us on. They don't, you know, they're not here trying to say what a terrible whatever. So it was just like, I had no excuses left. I just felt like, Lord, I have nothing to say or nothing to show for, and why I am not doing this first season, except I really felt that sometimes God allows us a break or a space, a free, and that in that space, I'm able to make that choice. I'm able to freely choose. Yes. And I don't think God looks less at us. I just think that he, with a piercing, loving, fatherly gaze, desires more for us, realizes that we are worth and we are ready for so much more than we see in ourselves, and that he wants to show us that.
Well, and it's no one becomes a saint without God's grace, supernatural, abundant grace that breaks in, breaks open, empties us out, fills us, etc. But there's also the dimension of St. Thomas Aquinas, who was asked by one of his brother Dominicans, what must I do to become a saint? And he just said two words, will it? So this doctor of...
I just love that.
You know,
I love that, because that's not our culture. Or that can not, that can be against our... It's paradoxical.
Yeah, it is, because it's grace and it's human effort, right? So that's the Catechism of the Catholic Church on prayer. Prayer, the life of prayer is both a gift of grace and requires a determined effort. It's both.
Yeah.
And I think that that determined effort is easy for us to, I don't know, like feel like when we measure what we're doing against ourselves, we give ourselves a lot of breaks. We give ourselves a lot of grace. We give ourselves a lot of rationalized excuses. And we're going to talk a bit about that in a minute when it comes to the like working out and getting healthy, because I think that's another great example of that. But I do want to mention, I was listening to a podcast. It was a sermon. No, it wasn't. It was actually reading from St. Alphonsus de Liguori. This is a really inspiring chapter in his book on preparation for death. It's on the eternity of hell. I was listening to this. I'm like, yeah, this will wake people up, right? And
I don't read those books. I just choose not to go in those.
Oh, my goodness. He had all the scripture after scripture after scripture after saint quote after saint quote after saint quote about the, if you only realized that hell is unending and the sufferings and the pains and the torments and it just had all these different testimonies of, again, saints and scripture. But something that I found, like when I stood back from it, I came away with two things. The first was, yeah, I can see how this would be one of those, what problem are you solving?
Mm-hmm.
What pain are you relieving? And it's, don't immerse yourself in the moment that you're living, because you might miss out on what is ultimately to come in at stake, which is heaven and hell, and yet don't want to end up in hell, right? That's sort of the point. But I felt like, okay, maybe this is just one chapter, but what motivates me so greatly for denying myself, living vigorously, rigorously, generously, courageously, doing penance is what? It's others. So I would say that if you really want to move, especially men, you don't threaten them with their own personal hell. You say to them, what if what was at stake was the eternal condition and ending place of your spouse or your kids? What would you not do for their sake? What would you, it's like the, it was the first reading from, I don't know, was it Saturday? No, Friday. It was Romans chapter 9, where St. Paul says, I do not lie. The Holy Spirit bears me witness in my conscience that I would be willing to be forsaken. I would be willing to give up Christ, to be forsaken by Christ for the sake of my brothers and the chosen ones, the Jewish people. I would be willing to lose heaven, lose Christ for their sake. And there's, he said, there is constant grief and great pain in my heart that he is constantly experiencing over the condition of the Jewish people.
I just pray God brings that transformative way of seeing to all people because you have it. I think a lot of us struggle to get there, to care enough. And I don't mean to sound uncharitable, but I am in some ways. The scripture really struck me was from John, is it John 1:9? No, it's Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, which is, I know, a common one. But when praying about the radio and praying about my call in life, it was the sense of being afraid and not being strong, like letting the flesh or the soft life or comfortable life, like let it win. And I really felt God saying, you need to be strong in me. I've commanded this from you, and I need you to take to step up and be of courage, have good courage. And so that's been a something I've been praying through the last few months is to really take back what maybe the enemy has swindled from me in the depths of my heart, or take back the rightful territory that the Lord has for us as his followers, that we should be strong, we should command and walk in his anointing and in his power.
Yeah, and those are beautiful words, and I would even simply say, actually respond to the call to be a disciple. Deny yourself, pick up your cross every day and follow me. If you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Right? It's the message that is a hard one to say out loud is that the failure of the church isn't simply that there are people walking away or rejecting the faith or not being drawn to the faith for a variety of reasons. It's that we who are practicing the faith are doing so without courage, vigor, rigor, and generosity. We are living the life of comfortable dissipation. And if we think we aren't, all we have to do is look at the outcome, look at the fruits, and we see churches closing, churches combining, vocations diminishing. We are not having a major impact on the culture. The culture is far impact is impacting us far greater than we are impacting it. And in order to raise kids that are going to be faith-filled and root their faith in Christ as Catholics is a statistically losing proposition if you just simply do what you've been doing. So it's, my simple phrase of it takes an extraordinary effort to live an ordinary life of faith today. It's a truism. But even saying those things out loud just doesn't move the needle very much. And so, anyways, I will talk more about that because that is actually connected to the books I'm writing. And I'm excited to share a bit more about that if we have time today. But there's another dimension to this whole journey that we've been on. Is there anything else you want to say about it? Because I want to move on to us in our next segment where we're going to talk a bit about vigor and rigor, generosity and courage, and getting healthier, and how that this is all part and parcel of our bodily life as well, and respecting the stage that we're in.
No, just doing it in community, doing it with others, not being alone. coming out into the light and honestly doing a real search of the heart, like, God, what are you calling me to? And having time for him to speak and to awaken and to convict. And that just doesn't happen unless we're in prayer.
Okay, you said something there that was great. And we'll explore that, and I'm sure in days and weeks to come, is the reality of community and fellowship as a critical part of fostering that vision, right? You have to be able to be in relationship with people who share that vision. So it washes over you, gets sewn into you. You're reflecting back and forth together. It deepens. That's a really powerful and important point as well. And the last thing you said was that first starts in prayer, where it's the Lord who's going to sow that seed in your heart. All right, up against a break, back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Karn. It's great to be with you. If you're enjoying this program, please, afterwards, you can go onto Apple Podcasts or Spotify and look up the Dr. Tom Karn podcast, and you can get access to this as well as going to mycatholicfaith.org. Carrie, we're back, and we've been talking a bit about this idea of, you are built for this, and there are going to be challenges that you face, and you want to fight because you want to win the championship, and no one will ever be able to take that from you, right? That beautiful message from the coach to our daughters, and it moved them, and they ended up winning. We want to win that race, but in winning the race, we also have to respect the ages and stages. It's something you always appreciated with regards to parenting kids. Now it's kind of coming home to roost for us in our age and stage of life, and with these new realizations about our own health.
Well, being in this new life, I guess you'd say, and in our age, what's really hard is recovery. So when you do a workout, I just don't feel great afterwards. I'm glad I always do it. I never regret it. But just an hour or so of trying to get the energy back, get the focus back, get the intentional, what am I doing next, back into my mind. Like, it dissipates my brain. Like, it not is only physically difficult, but it's intellectually difficult, or just
cognitively,
yes,
mentally.
Yes. You think it's supposed to strengthen it, but it doesn't. The second thing is, I feel like the food I eat or the drinks I drink have a bigger impact on me. So if I'm having sugar or alcohol or trans fats, that my body just does not process things as easily as when you're younger and your cells rejuvenate quicker. And so I have to even be more deliberate. Here's the thing. It's unfortunate that as we get older and wiser, if we've not developed good habits, we're kind of up a creek without a paddle. It doesn't feel that I took so many things for granted in my younger years of being able to just go work out and just run out the front door and have what you need to maintain. Not only are you more impacted by what you eat, but the recovery, and then your metabolism is slowing. So you have all of these things kind of pushing against you if you want to maintain, or if I want to maintain a healthier life. So it's interesting, and it can be discouraging, but it's also a releasing of, Lord, we are not here forever and our bodies are slowly breaking down. So trying to figure out how to do healthy living in this age.
Okay, so I've never really said it like this before, but just hearing what you shared makes me realize that there's a physical component to comfortable dissipation, right? So I've talked about comfortable dissipation. Again, this comes from St. John of the Cross. He's sent to Mount Carmel. And it's the idea of being spiritually deflated. Well, you can also be physically deflated. And you can do that because of the comfort of just doing what you've been doing. And that's where you and I have realized, and especially me, because you've been in better shape than I have been. And I've been the guy with the great excuses on why I haven't been able to get in shape or stay in shape, even though I was always physically active and played lots of sports through many, many years. And it was, I just was gaining weight. And it was not being intentional, cognizant, having an alertness or an awareness of just eating the food that's in front of me can in fact have very negative impacts on my body.
Yeah, this goes back to that word earn. I'm not just going to maintain a healthy, strong body, my muscles aren't going to maintain. They're actually losing every day.
If you just keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. But no, wait a minute.
Get worse.
It gets worse.
It's way worse.
Physically, it gets worse. And I go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you.
No, yeah. I just, this is like kind of depressing. It's kind of discouraging. How do you manage that or work towards the greater good? How do you stay in the fight? How do you get off the bench and get into the game of life? And it's not just physically, it's spiritually, it's relationally.
It's one of those things where I feel like I should have known better. I should have known better. And I say that because I was an executive coach, coaching these senior executives who were almost always older than I was by 20 years. So they were 10, 20 years headed towards retirement situations, and just talking with them and watching them share their stories. Why did I not think, wait a minute, someday I'm going to be there? And for them, talking about regrets or seeing a medical event impact the remainder of their lives, or in fact, ending their lives unexpectedly and in an untimely fashion. And there's this sense of, wait a minute, I don't want your life to be a lesson for me, but it's a lesson for me if I'm willing to let it be. I can't just keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to end up with even harsher impacts. And so I think one of the great gifts, Carrie, of us discerning a move here is moving from Spokane. People say, why would you move? Right? You had such a beautiful thing set up in Spokane Valley and all that life that we had in Spokane, Coeur d'Alene. You talked about the weather. We talked about this next stage of life where we had this dawning recognition. We have to change how we're relating to our own physical bodies in this stage of life. And if we don't, I'm not going to be around to help. You know, so I needed to say farewell to bad eating habits.
Isn't that your word for the year?
Yeah.
Farewell. Mine's fertilize. I'm still trying a fertility fertilize. Fertility. So I keep praying like, Lord, what does this mean? What are you wanting to do in this word? And nothing's been really clear. I do believe he will make it clear. But you're right. I think being here, just being in a place where it's flat and it's not icy, it's not freezing. You can be outside. A lot of times I'd run in our garage on a little treadmill or walk in our garage. It was just so discouraging sitting there walking, looking at a stack of tires. But to be in a place where you can, where the weather's just more moderate, it's not so extreme, has really helped. You know, we were talking about deny yourself, take up your cross. What I like about that is in Luke 10, 23, it's if anyone wishes to come after me. So there is this sense of I'm going after something. I need to go after something. What are we going after? Who, you know, yes, we're going out. We want to go after the Lord.
Like,
but
pursuing.
Yeah. What are you pursuing?
Well, it's funny. I didn't take the word that way. I thought it was like a just a different way in saying in English, being a follower, a disciple.
Sure. I think that means that too.
Jesus, who is showing us the way, is the way, etc. But I like what you're saying better. That's a meaning that has to do with passion and,
yes,
and vitality and energy.
And earning it. And yes, I think, and then it's, which never struck me until you mentioned it, he must deny himself. And I always focused on taking up your cross. But before you take up the cross, I'm denying that snooze button. I'm denying going on my phone on Instagram or X or whatever before I do my prayer. I'm denying not listening to you in the morning. Like, how do I, you know, take time to get you a second cup of coffee or say, Tom wants to talk for a little bit. Let's just sit and listen. There's all these ways in which we deny ourselves. It's that, again, back to that reluctance. But I'm praying that the Lord deliver me from not just refusal, but reluctances in accepting his will. And then there's this full sense of, and this is what I was praying in our, when our alarm goes off in the morning, you get up, it's about 5 a.m., and I sit there in bed and I go, oh, honey, I'm going to pray. Now, praying is in and out of consciousness, asking the Lord for help for the day, asking him to show me something. And this morning it was, don't tell your husband anything he needs to do. Like, don't give him, why are you doing that? Why did you do that? Why you need to do this, which us wives can be really annoying with. And was almost like have more of a pause Just a 3 second pause. Is this kind? Is this necessary? And I was thinking of the things I said to you and just being convicted of, oh, that'd be so annoying if you were doing that to me every morning, every day. So yeah, that whole sense of you must deny yourself, myself, what I want to say, what I want to do. And I think it all plays into, you know, yes, being a disciple, living a life that's more focused and intentional, but it's just not, it's, we're in a culture where it's just not, you have to choose that every day. And it's not, easy is not the right word. It's not our natural way.
Right.
It really has to be forged.
You don't want to die to yourself. Unless a seed dies, it's not going to bear fruit. But if it does, it'll bear abundant fruit. We just don't want to die to ourselves. It's such a common, message that we hear. I heard it. How many times have I heard it? We just don't want to die to ourselves. That's a painful thing to deny ourselves. One of the other, again, sort of foundational truths connected to this is the idea that when we die to ourselves, we end up doing so in relationship to our state in life. And so, just as a for instance, one of the key places you'll find to deny yourself and to pick up your cross is fulfilling the duties of your state in life. And so that shouldn't be a surprise to us. I'm just finding that there are new ways of doing that now that we've shifted here. And I'm focusing more on doing church work, writing books. I'll talk about that in the next segment. But it has allowed Carrie and me, we've made a conscious decision, intentional decision, to put in front of ourselves the idea of we need to get healthy. We need to deny ourselves food in the way that we've been eating. If I don't deny, let me just speak for myself. If I don't deny myself food that involves lots of sugar and processed, foods and all of these unhealthy forms of carbs, right? Unhealthy forms of carbs, and in the wrong amounts, I'm going to continue to be unhealthy and I could have worse impacts. So it's frankly a bit shocking just how much effort I've had to put into eating and exercising to have a lifestyle that is honestly a discipleship lifestyle, a lifestyle that allow me to have vigor, rigor, generosity, and courage as a disciple. And so it's a fascinating thing to think that respecting the limits of our bodies, respecting and having an alertness and awareness that what we could take for granted and not think through can actually have negative impacts. And the disruption of that is going to be hopefully done graciously rather than tragically, right? Through some medical event, but graciously to be able to say, okay, wait a minute. I need to pay attention to my body. I need to be alert to what I'm learning from voices around me that in this stage of my life, I need to work harder to not lose rather than maintain and potentially gain back some health and some vigor. And so it is a fascinating thing that even these efforts to get stronger and healthier and all of this are still within that vein of striving to live well for others. This isn't about me trying to get in great shape for my own sake personally, but that's a low level motivation. It's much more about wanting to be available to the Lord, loving my wife and my kids well, and frankly, being able to find in what it takes to do that a tremendous amount of opportunity to die to myself, to deny myself, and frankly, just call it penance, to do penance as a grace for my family. And I think that's a very important perspective, the idea that denying yourself, denying myself, is something that I can do for the sake of my family. Picking up my cross is something that I can do on behalf of my family, giving up things, fasting, or again, you've heard me talk about this from the standpoint of both the self-denial part, the mortification, the porting to death part, as well as the spiritual training part I think one of the traditional distinctions that goes on here is the idea that in the course of the duties of your day-to-day life, there are just going to be things that come at you or are part of you accomplishing the things that are part of your daily life that you just might find to be a burden or a drain that is calling for tremendous patience and kindness. Carrie has stepped away, but I would love it for her, and we'll talk about this in some future program. But the way that she embraced the call to be a mother and a mother of many little ones was a ever-increasing drain on her patience and kindness, just going about the day-to-day duties of taking care of a bunch of little kids. And for me, the duties of my state in life, especially involving going out into the world and providing for my family, it wasn't just a matter of making sure we had enough money. In fact, a lot of that had to do with me trusting in the Lord, trusting that the Lord would provide for us even as I worked very hard. So it's that, again, it's that grace. Everything is rooted in God's grace. It's all a gift, but it's also traced back to real human effort, the effort that we make and that we take to correspond to God's plan. And here's the interesting thing. This brings about a dynamic. And the dynamic is the difference between being self-reliant and being reliable. See, the Lord doesn't want us to be self-reliant with the idea that somehow we're going to be relying on our own self to get through this. And God's going to sort of sit this one out. God's going to watch from the sidelines, or maybe isn't even paying attention. God's got bigger fish to fry. And again, we don't talk like that. We don't consciously maybe think about it like that, but we can sometimes act like that. We can act as if God is not really, truly, personally present, intimately involved, has a care, a concern, a providential ministering to our lives in these places. And so, well, by default, it means I got to make it happen. I got to figure it out. And that's not what the Lord wants from us. The Lord wants us to know that He is ever present. He's an ever present Father. He knows what we need before we ask. It's in the gospel. It's a Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the very first things after the Jesus does the Beatitudes, is this like really strong message about just how much God the Father cares for you and every hair in your head and every detail of your life. He's got you covered. He wants you to know that you're taken care of. And yet at the same time, one of the ways, see, this is now a subtler thing, one of the ways that God is taking care and has taken care of you is as your good and loving creator, all-wise creator, has made you in His image and likeness and has given you a brain. He's given you the capacity to mature certain talents, capabilities, connections, opportunities in family, in education, in certain skill development. And in doing these things, you can grow in confidence, not self-reliance, but in confidence that, you know what, Lord, you can rely on me. I'm reliable. I will be faithful to doing the work that you have for me to do. And I'm not going to attempt to do it apart from you, reliant upon myself, but I will do it, if you will, in the shining presence of my loving Father, who smiles down upon my efforts to show Him that, Lord, I'm reliable and I can figure stuff out and work hard in Your light, asking for Your grace, but pushing forward, using the gifts and abilities that You've given to me. Do you sense, can you see the difference between those two? That's worth teasing out more, but I don't have time to do so. Well, I hope today has been a blessing to you. Join me tomorrow, where I'll talk about the books that I'll be writing and the plan of attack. God bless.